Episode 497 of Global From Anywhere podcast. Should Amazon sellers add TikTok shop?
Welcome to Global From Anywhere podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice.
Welcome back to Global From Anywhere. I'm Mike, and today we're tackling a platform that many Amazon sellers, myself included, have found confusing and maybe a little intimidating, TikTok. With me is Lisa. Lisa, what's the word on the street from sellers about TikTok?
Honestly, Mike, it's a mix of FOMO and frustration. They see the massive numbers, $50 billion in sales in just 6 months. But they also hear about phone farms getting banned, and the relentless need for content. It feels like a completely different universe compared to the structured, search-based world of Amazon.
That's the perfect way to put it. We're so used to fulfilling demand, but TikTok is all about creating it. It's a discovery platform, a blue ocean of attention. But how do you navigate it without getting lost? That's why we've brought in two of the sharpest minds in the space, Graham and Rafe, from The Uptick.
And they're not just another agency, right? Their whole model is about empowering brand owners with a system.
Exactly. They have a proven framework for identifying which products will succeed, how to create content that connects, and how to build a scalable operation without the crazy hacks. Today, they're going to debunk the myths and give us a clear roadmap to finally conquer TikTok. Hey entrepreneurs, if you're serious about scaling your cross-border business in 2026, don't miss the Cross-Border Summit happening November 3rd to 5th in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Network with speakers and fellow advanced sellers who are already navigating AI tools, tariff strategies, and new market expansion. Early bird tickets available at 2026.crossbordersummit.com.
Thanks everybody for tuning into a Global From Anywhere show. We have two partners here, experts in TikTok, and something I've been wanting to do for a while. It's a lot of purely Amazon, and I don't think many. I was spent on Amazon just this past weekend, and I got it back in a few days. It was some paperwork, nothing too serious, but it reminded me that we need to do multi-channel, and I really am serious about this, and it's perfect timing to have Graham and Rafe on the show from The Uptick. And they're specializing in not what I like is it's not purely the consulting. They coach and they work with sellers to help them succeed and building their own operations. So, Graham, you're down in Australian Sydney, and Rafe, you're here in Thailand like me. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, man. Thanks for having us. I'm excited to dive in.
Yep.
Cool to be here.
So, Graham, I know you're very passionate about this as a seller yourself, and your positioning is a little bit unique because I know there's a lot of agencies that help people full service, set up content operations. You want to give us some insights of your story here?
For us, initially, our background for Rafe and I is building and selling e-commerce businesses, and that's how we met, actually, because Rafe, in our partnership, is respectfully the mad scientist, so He's been a TikTok old school since 2020, 2019, which is only 6-7 years ago, but there's not many around that have been in the TikTok e-com space longer than Rafe. So we met because he was helping brands. I was in the Amazon network actually get attention through what was at the time starting to evolve organically in regards to what's this new platform everyone's on. And then that's how we met. And our business came about through, yes, consulting with other brands, but maybe not at the business to start off with, maybe just with some general advice, but through word of mouth, Mike, like anything, when you start getting results, it's so funny because it's such a big world, but so small in the e-commerce space. So many brand owners know others. So from that, then that's how our business got built. But no, we're not an agency. We consult with multiple agencies to give them the systems and the strategies they execute for their clients. But what we do, it's about empowerment. So we love TikTok. I always say about how many people would buy your product or service if they actually knew you existed, right? But that's what it is. It's discovery. People spend so much time on obviously the product and everything else, which is lovely. But most times they're playing in the red ocean, which is I'm on Amazon, which we call a search, find, buy platform. The only people going there already know what they want to buy. Then they go to page one. They look at the reviews. There's a Chinese competition, which is part of the game. There's the price points and they go through and make a decision. But TikTok, I didn't even know you existed. What a great idea. So TikTok is an opportunity for Blue Ocean organically, not pay to play. So our whole game and what we do in our business is we show people an almost like a hand-holding experience. Depending where you are and depending what your product is in your niche, this is what you need to do step by step to get attention. And then through that attention, of course, we want you to be successful on TikTok Shop. But consumers buy where they choose to buy. So most of our members who are really starting to get traction say, yes, TikTok, of course, but their Amazon's organics have increased dramatically because there is a huge piece of the TikTok community, we'll say, that might see it on TikTok. I'll just go buy it on Amazon because it's easier for them. But that's the key. They would never have known about you if it wasn't for the organic attention. God. But that's our game and that's what we do.
Nice, nice. So mad scientist here. How'd you get started? What attracted you into TikTok earlier on?
I think the biggest thing for me was firstly, it was my wife, to be honest. She was obsessed with Instagram at the time. And then all of a sudden, she's on this new app called TikTok. And I only heard of it because it was like this chair challenge that was going viral at the time. Then she made me do this chair challenge, which apparently women can do and guys can't because they fall over while doing it. So I did the challenge. And of course, I fell over. And we had a laugh. But the thing that was most interesting was it changed her behavior from an app she was like addicted to, which was Instagram, to immediately switch over almost exclusively to TikTok within a week. And in the entire time I've known her, she's never seen something on Instagram and asked me to do a type of challenge in the real world. But within a week, she did that in TikTok. So it got my brain juices flowing. It made me think about, oh, okay, if this is making people change their behavior in the real world right now, what else could it do if you're able to drive that attention to something like a product? Because obviously I was already selling, I had multiple brands at the time. And so I just dove in, man. I realized if you're only selling on Amazon, which is where I started as an e-com seller, you're only fulfilling existing demand and you're not creating demand, which means you're always at the mercy of the platform on whether you get suspended, whether you make money or not. If they increase fees, you can't do anything about it because you don't own the eyeballs before they decide they need the product. And that's really what got me interested in the first place.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I'll be a little bit honest. I actually had a little dinner with some sellers last night here in Chiang Mai. And we were saying we still, I guess, maybe the hesitancy, we feel a little bit more stable on Amazon. Like TikTok, to me, it's confusing because there's stores and personal accounts. And I think there's even another kind of account. And we feel like you got to have 100 phones. There's always those people that show you 100 phones in a room. And they're like,
I've seen that.
And you got to have, you got to go to T-Mobile in the US and you got to get a new phone number. And then you got to get a VPS on your router and you got to take that same router to Thailand and then you got to connect. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. And then you get banned. Okay. And this is another account. Like, I don't know. I just feel, we said it last night. We just felt like it's not as, I did just get spent on Amazon. Luckily it's back, but it is becoming a viable storefront, right? We can't ignore it anymore, right? It's 2026.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm still not on it personally and others. So it's a viable
thing. We're going to convert you. That's why we're here.
Yeah, so, exactly. Sorry, Graham, go for it.
I was just going to say, I think, Mike, like it's like a lot of things. You don't know what you don't know, right? Quite simply. But they did $50 billion in the first 6 months of this year on TikTok. $50 billion. Yeah. Here's another statistic too. Of the $50 billion, more than 50% were buyers over the age of 27.
Oh. So
this is a thing where everyone thinks, oh, TikTok, it's all kids and stuff. No,
yeah.
So $25 billion was made from purchases over 27 years old. Things where it's like, yes, you can have the whole, oh, it's too hard. But that's because you guys have, respectfully, probably an unconscious knowledge now around Amazon. So like, this is easy for you, but you have to remember someone from the Shopify will look at Amazon and be like, oh my God, look how hard that is. When, unless you use FBA, I'm not going to get whatever else. And I don't understand all the keywords and everything else. I understand Google it. So it's, again, you don't know what you don't know. Yes, there are certain things that you need to do like any business, any platform to be successful, but it's worth it. Obviously, like that, if you get it right, because as we were mentioning, chatting about earlier, Amazon does not give you what Raf Toker spoke about with the discovery. And that's the key. How many people would buy your product if they knew you existed? All you're doing is fighting amongst the red ocean on Amazon. Where TikTok, you have the opportunity to two-part. One, put yourself in front of the consumer to show them, hey, here's something that solves a problem for you. But even better, and this is obviously what we teach, is your content shows them a problem they didn't even know they had. So this is the thing. You show them a problem they didn't even know they had, and then that's amazing. Oh, by the way, we also have the solution for it over here. These are things that you just can't do on Amazon. But yeah, it's not as easy as just, you know what, just jump on today and start selling tomorrow. But that's in any business, right?
Yep.
And one thing I'll have to say, Mike, is that phone farm stuff is just, it's a tactic. It's not the way you launch on the platform. And most sellers, I noticed, they love geeking out and tinkering on these like edge case tactics. And they're like, oh, I'm going to do this because this is what's going to be my edge. But they'll spend all their effort and time doing this, but they don't build the foundation of what like a proper scalable TikTok shop brand actually looks like. And so yes, you could do that, but we've helped brands get to well beyond 7 figures a month without ever using a phone form. Like, it's just not necessary to have, but not a prerequisite to success. So don't feel like, oh, I need a phone farm, 100 phones to make this thing work, for sure.
That's reassuring. I lived in China for over a decade, and even not just TikTok, Amazon, or social media, Chinese always like to do that. But I guess probably people around the world figuring that out too. I've seen it outside of China too.
Yeah.
I know you guys, Graham and I, have been chatting about finding the right brand for TikTok, but you just said even over 27 now. So it's not about kids or women. It's like, what kind of demographics should you look for? Or how do you decide if your brand is the right one?
I don't know about demographics, but Raf will speak better on this in regards to, we always look for three core pillars. You just want to dive into that, Raf?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't really look at my target demographic first. I look at, okay, would this product actually fit on TikTok? And there's three pillars that we go through every time. Obviously, there's sub pillars if none of them fit. So the first, is this product demonstrable? Can I see clear before and like a clear, this is a use case, I do this and I can show it visually because it's a visual first platform. Most products fit that, obviously, because it's a physical product. But the second one is, can I visually demonstrate the before and after of the customer's journey using this product? So I'll give you a simple example and I'll give you a hard one. A simple one is skincare. Let's say I've got wrinkly skin and I've got smooth skin. That's obvious. But what if you don't do that? What if you're selling supplements? So let's say you're selling a sleep supplement. Can I visually show getting a lack of sleep and then getting good sleep? Of course I can. I can show someone spinning around in bed and someone sleeping peacefully. That's an example of before and after. So that's the second filter. And the third, and this is arguably the most important, is the problem space that my product lives in. Is there a passionate audience talking about that? So I'll give you an example of what that means. So let's say I was selling teeth whitening products. The passionate audience I'd be looking for is two. Are people talking about looks maxing and confidence? Are they talking about oral health? Just creating content about this problem space. If I see very little of that, that would mean it would be me fighting uphill launching that specific product on TikTok. But if I do see that, it's a hot knife through butter. And that's the first three filters that I look through when we're helping a brand launch.
Okay. Very helpful.
Sure, man.
Go ahead, Graham. You have something to add? If not,
Raph, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, Mike, for you, I know this is something, and this might be useful for the listeners, is that you've been thinking about pulling the trigger on TikTok Shop as an Amazon seller, where the vast majority of revenue is coming from there. Apart from it's a new channel and I'm not sure, what's been your hesitancy or what's been the biggest blocker for you to actually say, move forward with it? And maybe we can address that right now.
I'm in Thailand and I want to sell in US. I don't want to sell in Thailand.
Oh, just the international aspect? That's a solved problem. Okay. That's a solved problem.
I tried with the VPN. My friends used US routers and they had their house. Somebody at their US turned it on for them. Even last night at dinner, they said that they pay somebody in the US to have the phone with their number hosting for them.
That's a different problem than launching on TikTok Shop. So if you have a brand account that's posting, that's a different thing. To be able to sell on TikTok Shop as an international seller, it's possible. It's a solved problem. So that can be done. And so the things that you're talking about at dinner is just about geo-locking your content account where you're posting, but not where you're hosting as a seller center. So those are two different things. So I think there might be a bit of a confusion between the two. Yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to hide. I just feel confused. I'll be honest. I'm probably figured out, but I'm pretty smart. But I've tried. I'll be honest. I use US VPNs for Amazon too. I have different accounts, so I try those same profiles, but they're much TikTok seems much more difficult to change the geograph.
For sure. There's a very specific process to be able to do that, to be able to change your geolocking. We can go into the details of that, but I think what that's not the point of what you're saying. What you're saying is that the first steps of entering TikTok Shop are so different from Amazon and confusing that it makes you feel like, you know what, it's not worth it. I might focus on other areas of my business. That's what it sounds like. Would that be true?
And not just me. There's just five of us. We have these advanced seller dinners. And another guy, he's a manufacturer of clothing here. And he's a lot in the US market. And he says the TikTok says you got to sell in Thailand. And he wants
to sell in the US. He's just doing it it's just the sequential process of setting up. He's just done it in a different way. But that question, if that's the only gap, that's a solved problem for sure. I don't know, Graham, if you want to jump in on that at all, but obviously that's like, we have so many international sellers.
It's just, you don't know what you don't know. And so many brands just try stuff rather than actually like they try and understand the right formula. But this is what we teach, right? So yeah, don't stress about those kind of things.
Okay. I think the confusion is we see these videos or photos of phone farms and then you hear people talk about IP address and geo.
It's all clickbait. Because they show that because it's clickbait and then people get engaged upon it. But yeah, it's like Raf said beforehand, it's like those people specifically are trying to find the silver bullet or the hack where there's a whole heap of foundation needs to be set beforehand. Those kind of things come and go, but that's just all clickbait. That's all.
Okay. Okay. This is great to know. I think the other one is the amount of content you need to make. It is a shift. Amazon sellers can be a little bit lazier where we like, I don't want to say I'm lazy. I'm not trying to say Amazon sellers are lazy, but we do like the inbounds, the search, find, buy, as Graham said, where it seems like TikTok, you have to create content to get sales. And
you do.
I think a lot of Amazon sellers, I'm not as bad. We're doing this podcast. I do more content for my kind of seller communities than I do for my brand. First, even myself, I can show you. So I think that's another transition that we need to make. You have to create content, or can you just have sellers do it, or do you need to do it, or should you do both? I think these are a lot of questions.
The easy way to think about it, because you got a couple of questions there, is to simplify success on TikTok, it's content and volume. Everything else is noise. Still needs to be done. But content and volume is you need to have the right sort of content for your product, for your niche to connect with them, because you can keep making lots of videos, but if it doesn't connect with them, you won't get any virality and things will just keep spinning past. But also the volume is the noise factor you need to break through, and every niche is different. So if you're launching in supplements right now, I don't care how good your content is, you're going to need a specific amount of volume just to be seen, quite simply because of the competition in that space. But if you're going into a different niche where it's somewhat new in the TikTok world, yes, you'll have to make great content to connect with your audience still. But the volume need to be made is a lot less because there's less noise to break through to be seen. So I think a big thing with Amazon sellers, if they're trying to think about what's going on with obviously all these different pieces, simplification of, yes, you need to first of all understand before you go into the game, what are the rules of the game? Because to jump on the TikTok and have no idea what sort of content you need to make to connect with your audience, or also how much volume you need to make beforehand, means you're throwing darts against a wall and be like, oh, like I'm hoping something hits. But then you might get one, then it goes off. It's like that whole thing, what you're digging for gold and you're almost there, but you give up because it's all too hard. But if you knew beforehand, actually, this is the road that I need to get through at a minimum to be seen, you would at least play it out. The brand channels for the second piece you mentioned around, so you've got your own brand channel, which you represent, but also you've got creators who actually post on their channel. So on the brand channel, we always talk about this is where you want to actually show off how great you are as a brand, but you're not selling. So everything that you do is going to be about the brand itself, yes, but most importantly, it's educating and entertaining all the time, but we're not selling directly immediately. That's what the creators do. And that goes back to brand building, because brand building is never what you say about yourself. It's always what other people say about you when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
So the creators are the ones who are saying things about you when you're not in the room. If you get on your brand channel and say how amazing you are all the time, that'll only get you so far, right? So there's this all these different pieces that you need to break down step by step, because then the execution that you mentioned earlier around where do I start, what do I do next, it's much easier when you have a roadmap, right?
Yeah.
So there's just a couple of things to think about. Raf, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I want to give the listeners a like a concrete takeaway and framework to think about content on TikTok Shop. So like just jumping off what Graham was saying, there's three types of traffic on TikTok. There's borrowed traffic where you're working with affiliates, where you're borrowing their traffic. There's paid traffic where it's paid distribution. And then there's own traffic where you create your own content. I don't want sellers to think if I go on TikTok Shop, I must be a content creator. That's not necessary or a prerequisite for success. It is a benefit and an edge as you start scaling to have your own audience, of course, but not a prerequisite. So what I would recommend for those brands is you want to be able to work with affiliates that are either look identical to your target avatar or speaking to your target audience in the same problem space that your product lives in. That's ideal. That's like step one. That's the people that we want to reach out to. And so when we're launching on that platform, we have three filters of what product works. And then we have the three types of traffic levers, borrowed, paid, and owned. And we're going to, inside of borrowed, focus on the creators that either look exactly like our avatar or speak directly to our audience and talk about our problem space. That's like a practical takeaway as the starting point. Hopefully that helps.
Yep. That helps a lot because I'm not even shy. I'm on my brands. I'm like a brand. If my Amazon listings, I have my face, my stories. Not all of them, two out of three. But I know a lot of sellers, especially Amazon, are like very private. They don't want to put themselves on the brand. I always wonder why. I think it's because they want to sell their brand, so they don't want to be a to it. But a lot of the sellers I know don't want to be on content.
Yeah. So. But you can always hire an internal creator to be a character that is the face of it, right? That is aspirational, the aspirational end result for what your brand represents. And so they're the ones that create content. So it doesn't always have to be you as the brand owner, of course.
Cool. Are there ones that would just not work, or what are some of the better ones, maybe even examples or stories versus ones that might not be the right ones for TikTok?
Do you mean products or brands? Is that what you mean?
Brands or examples, products or brands, whichever.
Yeah.
Will and are able to share?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of niches that you wouldn't think absolutely crush on TikTok, but they do. There's obvious ones like beauty and supplements, of course, on any platform that's just going to do really well. But you'd be surprised. Kids craft and kids niches work really well on TikTok. Books do really well. Snacks, like actual snacks, do really well on TikTok, even though it's not necessarily, I don't generally buy eatable things online if I can help it. I just don't, right? But in the States, especially on TikTok Shop, crushes for some reason, right? And so when I'm thinking about, okay, what products and niches work, the worst thing you can do is not look at what's actually happening currently. So anytime you listen to what this podcast, for example, you might be listening to this podcast maybe 4 or 5 months down the road. This is not what's happening right now as you're listening to it. So how do we check cross-reference with reality? First thing is, if you haven't downloaded TikTok, please do. And if you haven't bought something on TikTok Shop, buy one, figure out how to do that so you know what your customer is going through. And then the third thing is scroll through your niche, engage in content that's specifically relevant to your niche. So your For You page and feed starts showing you content that's actually being converted and has engagement. And then the fourth piece is just use any tool like FastMoss or Kayla Data for you to understand the volume of content that's being created. This lets you know what niches are working, what types of products are working or not working, and you don't have to walk the same path that other competitors have or the mistakes that they've made. And so the question isn't necessarily what products work and what don't. I can tell you very clearly, if a product doesn't pass those three filters and it doesn't have good contentability, which means it can be shot in many different locations, it's a more difficult road to scaling on the platform.
Got it. That was very helpful. Thank you. Let's talk about in-house, doing this in-house, right? I think that's one of the themes of this show, and I think what you do. I think about an Amazon seller, a typical Amazon seller that I would know, even 7-figure, even 8 figures. They're small teams, right? They're like really lean. They're able to do mostly what we do is product research, product development, the basic logistics, PPC launch, good listings. And I think that's, in my experience, most core teams of Amazon sellers are good at. So what kind of, do I need to hire somebody? Could I use that kind of skill? What kind of people in my team would I need to have ready or maybe hire or prepare for TikTok?
Graham, I'll let you take it because I took the last couple.
Oh, that's right. So it's one of those things where if you had to jump in the car and get to a destination, you didn't have a roadmap, you could be driving around for a while, knowing it's over that direction somewhere, because I might try this, try that. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, how many people do I need in my team? My biggest thing is, how much education and direction does that team actually have? That's probably the bigger question for me. Because if you know exactly where you have to go and it's pure execution, things take less time with less people, quite simply. And if you have obviously all the tools, systems and procedures versus it's over that way, you figure it out, then of course there's going to be so much more trial and error. I would say on average, and how business has evolved in regards to the consultancy, because we are very specific. So our mentorship has three core components that we take brands through, and this is at all different levels. So we only work with brands who are existing. It's not try and find your next $1 million product. You need to have a brand that we're going to help you scale with. And we need to believe in it too, quite honestly, because there are some brands who are like, I need to get on TikTok. But if we don't feel they're a good fit for their team or product-wise, it's just wasting each other's time. But we have brands doing starting off doing maybe only 10, 15 grand a month. But then I have other brands that I work with who are doing near $2 million a month now through TikTok. Grace and Stella just hit $100 million driven from TikTok over them in the last 18 months, I think it was, Raf. So if you get it right, the numbers are quite ridiculous. But again, it's the attention. So I think we spoke about this offline, but just to give the listeners some context, where are we in now? September 26th. So the latest numbers in September 26th from TikTok directly was it's nearing 200 million users in the US. But the most alarming thing is the average time spent per day is 3 hours per day. So if you think about the Gary Vee speech around attention is currency, and if I want more people to get to know me, as Raf said, people don't go on TikTok to buy stuff. They're there to be educated and entertained, but there's 3 hours of attention that your avatar's on there. And the other big piece, as we spoke about as well, $50 billion in the last 6 months, yet more than half are people over 27 years old. That's crazy. So it's not just kids dancing and stuff anymore, right? So what we do is we have in our mentorship, we have a foundation learning. We have a playbook that we write to each individual brand because it's never one size fits all. So we need to work out what are your goals, where you're at, what's your niche, and we write a playbook. And then there's one-on-one coaching. And we like the empowerment because we work with a lot of brands who may have worked with an agency but then took things back in-house.
Yeah.
Because maybe the agency was doing a good job, maybe they weren't. But the problem, the biggest problem is the brand owner had no idea because they get a fancy report and say, we've done this. Is that good or bad? Are you on track or off track? I don't know. So now it's like what we teach is like these are the benchmarks based on what other people, as Raf mentioned, other brands have done before you. If you're not here at a minimum, you should be. But hang on a second. Is your input enough? Because if it's not, don't expect the same output, right? So all these things that we measure. But as a helicopter view, that's how we work on a consultancy basis, quite simply that we empower the brands to know exactly what they need to do. But execution wins. Everyone knows that in business, right? Ideas are great, but nothing without execution.
Especially in today's world, I think. Especially with AI and everything, you can get all the information or if you don't take action. That's what I say a lot on the show.
100%.
I think we covered most of it. One part I have on my list, I think we did cover it a bit about cross-border. So I think others have been, at least in Southeast Asia, have been confused, like I said, at a dinner I had, even me. So it's, you don't have to be some kind of super hacker to sell in the U.S. market from...
No.
No. Okay.
No, definitely not.
No.
Okay. That's good.
At cross border coming up, no, we will give clarity. So anybody who's going to be there is going to be in the room and be like, I know I want to get on TikTok, or if you don't, we'll probably give you some alarming statistics why you probably should be considering it. But most importantly, we will 100% show you the system, not guesswork, of this is exactly what you need to do step by step to get your shop up and running and keep it up and running. Legally, no hacks, no dodgy stuff. That's only going to get you so far. Awesome. But as we spoke about, Mike, you don't know what you don't know, but they will know after the event.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited. Really great to have both of you on the show today. And yeah, we'll see you in November. I'm excited. So
looking forward to it.
We'll also link up your site, but maybe you can give a link for people who want to find your bit more about you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Just go to The Uptick, theuptik.com, theuptick.com, and then just shoot us a message or shoot us an email, and it'll probably be myself or Graham just responding to you. Yeah, and I think whether you decide to work with us or not, if you are a seller who's primarily on Amazon, decide what game you want to play. whether you always want to be dependent on a platform that fulfills existing demand, so you're dependent on the whims of that platform, or you want to go into the driver's seat and get in front of the customer before they decide to make that purchase. And so each game has its own difficulties, but just whatever fits you, the faster you make that decision, the more at peace you'll be, a lack of FOMO, and you'll actually make progress in whatever you want to do. So just make that choice, make that decision.
Thanks so much.
And just one thing I'll add on that reminded me, Raf, just quickly, is again, this whole TikTok game, it's yes, it's another avenue for revenue if you get it right. But as Raf mentioned about what your goal is, I can tell you, because we work with so many aggregators now, is one of the things they're looking at is, yes, omni-channel, but like in the Amazon world, we were putting in the insert cards and trying to skirt the rules or try and get our own database. Well, that's what we're doing. But on TikTok, you have the client. So this is a thing where it's like, it's almost like another email list when you get it right. Mm-hmm. One of the key things which I learned recently, which I thought was really interesting, is now that if you're looking at expanding or even exiting by having a TikTok shop that's generating not only income there, but also creating a halo effect to your other channels in discovery, it increases your multiplier, which is big, obviously, on your exit. But the other piece about it is the first thing, number one thing that all retailers are looking at now for potential shelf space is, show me your TikTok presence. Mm-hmm. And I know this because I've been in boardroom meetings, because they're like, when a consumer comes to our retail because they saw you on TikTok, what else do they buy when they're in here?
Yeah.
So because of that, we want shelf space for brands who are crushing it on TikTok, because quite simply, that is cheaper for us than going to the old advertising and billboards. So much to one of our clients, Kids Craft Brands, signed a contract with TK Maxx. And yeah, in the contract, their benchmark price, their wholesale price is benchmarked against what TikTok presence they have. Huh. So they've incentivized the brand owner to be like, we will increase your wholesale price based on your TikTok attention. Because again, the more traffic that they see you over here, the more we'll drive to our store. How interesting. So there's so many other pillars now. It's not just a revenue channel. It feeds everything else in the ecosystem.
Nice.
Anyway, most people don't realize that. And again, I'm always learning, and so is Raf as well. But it's amazing when you sit down with brands and obviously aggregators about this is what they're looking for now.
It's really motivating and, yeah, empowering. I like you said, you empower sellers. And that's what I'm about too. So pleasure having you.
Knowledge.
And
knowledge is empowering.
Excited.
Thanks for having us.
Can't wait till the event. We'll see you in a couple of months.
What an incredible breakdown. It's clear that success on TikTok isn't about a magic bullet. It's about having a solid, repeatable system. Lisa, what was the biggest takeaway for you?
For me, it was the shift in mindset from just seeing TikTok as another sales channel to understanding it as an attention engine for your entire brand. That story about the client getting a deal with TJ Maxx, with their wholesale price literally benchmarked against their TikTok presence, that's a game changer.
It really is. It proves that organic attention on TikTok creates a powerful halo effect that drives traffic to Amazon and even opens doors to physical retail. It's not just about the sale you make on the app, it's about the brand you build across the entire ecosystem.
And the three pillars, demonstrable, before and after, and a passionate audience, provide such a clear filter for any seller wondering if their product has a chance. It takes the guesswork out of it.
Absolutely. It's all about empowerment through knowledge. For our listeners who want to learn more from Graham and Rafe and get their own custom playbook, what's the next step?
They can find everything they need at theuptick.com.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Global From Anywhere. We'll see you next time.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromanywhere.com. That's www.globalfromanywhere.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.